Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season in 2020 has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Monday edition of the show. It's episode number one this week of at least five downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, wherever you listen, we are available. Five episodes a week downloaded into your phone. Monday through Saturday, we've got at least five episodes for you on the Philadelphia Eagles, which is kind of unfortunate right now considering the state of the team. But before we get into everything that happened in what was clearly a turning point in franchise history yesterday, as the Eagles fell to the Green Bay Packers 30-16 in Lambeau, the Eagles are now 3-8-1 on the season. But it really, again, much like the last few weeks, the win-loss result really isn't what the conversation should be about anymore. Really, just each game is evolving into a new meaning for what this team is going to be down the road. And so, of course, we're going to get into today Carson Wentz getting benched for Jalen Hurts. There is a lot of implications now on what happens moving forward this season with what's going to be the state of this team down the road. And of course, I'm going to get into it. And of course, as well, for the first time in a while, because he was making the move out to Colorado with his fiance and with his two puppies, his two doodles, it's Mr. Gino Camilleri, my co-host, who is joining me again. He's making his return to LOE. Gino, kind of at probably the worst time for you, because it's just today's probably, at least for me, it was the lowest point where I just did not, I've never felt like I wanted to talk about the Eagles less, considering just how sad this team is right now and how far they've fallen from just winning a championship less than 36 months ago, man. But we're here and I'm excited to have you back on the show, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you guys for hanging in there with me while I've been gone, but I'm finally
listening to me rant for 20 minutes by myself. I'm sure they were getting sick of that.
No, it's good, man. Thank you for all that, and thank you guys for sticking with us, and thank you guys for sticking with this team. And this is, we were talking about it before the show, Lou. It's great being out in Colorado. It's great seeing the game. It was on at 2:25, but yeah, then just a couple hours later, we're sitting here once again, and I kind of have three moments in my head as an Eagles fan where I really like was like, damn, these are some low points. Mm-hmm. The first one being that when they traded Donovan McNabb and got rid of Brian Westbrook and Dawkins in that 2 year period, and that was kind of a changing of the guard there. And then we saw what happened inevitably in 2012 with that team. Andy Reid moves on. And then I think back to that stretch with Mark Sanchez and Chip Kelly where they got absolutely blown out. Mm-hmm. The game I was at against Tampa Bay, Detroit on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I mean, those two games inevitably were the downfall of Chip Kelly's tenure in Philadelphia. And I'm a big fan of the Viking Age, and the largest and last battle that the Vikings ever fought was the Battle of Stamford Bridge, where King Harold fell at the sword of the King of the Britons. And I feel like this is where we are. Like, we're kind of at that fall of this, what we thought was this Eagles, this tenure that we had in Doug Peterson, maybe this like empirical rise where they actually found things going in the right direction and they had everybody on track with this message, this new norm. And man, we just saw Carson Wentz throw for less than 50% for the first time in his career. He got pulled for somebody that was a questionable pick in the second round, and ultimately Doug Peterson's play calling is still up in the air. Doug and Jim Schwartz on the other side of the ball is still bad at situational football, and Howie Roseman is being questioned, and Jeffrey Lurie, the king of it all, is just standing by right now. And I just feel like we are literally at the fall of we are at that third turning point since I've kind of been an Eagles fan over the last 20 years. And I don't know who else looked at this last couple weeks and didn't get anything less out of it, because somebody who we thought was the quote unquote franchise quarterback is an absolute shell of himself. Doug Peterson in the last 2 weeks, he's attributed to 3 points in the last his play calling efforts, because if you look at last week's game, the only points came in the second half when Scangarello was calling plays, and at the 2 minute drill prior to the first half when Press Taylor was calling the 2 minute drill, and he only got a field goal yesterday. So right now, Lou, something big is good. I mean, this is the boiling point, the blowing up of Yosemite, of Mount Helena, of whatever you want to call it. Like, there is no more pressure that could be on this team, because it has exploded, in my opinion. After Carson Wentz was sat, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, in my opinion, and we are really at a crossroads of where we have to go from here.
Yeah, this is, I think, the darkest moment of the Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz era over the last five seasons. I mean, we've been hitting new lows, you know, for all of 2020, but yesterday was the
Last year, dude, Miami, yeah. We tie the Bengals this year. We lose to the Washington football team and a Giants team that's bad. I just think it's been a culmination of a lot of things. This isn't something that is revisionist history. We've talked about the same things, and finally enough is enough. And we saw it, man. Like, I literally, for the first time, like, think that team quit a little bit yesterday.
It finally sank in. I mean, as long as Carson Wentz was on the field for me, I knew what this team was this year, and we've been talking about it for weeks and weeks now, the long-term perspective. We really haven't been diving into the matchups week by week, because it really doesn't matter anymore. We've been talking about what this means now for the future of this team, because that's the conversation that needs to be had, and we knew that. But at the same time, like, as long as Carson Wentz was out there, I was just waiting to see that guy that we saw in 2017, and, you know, I think at times in 2018 as well, and down the stretch, of course, and throughout the 2019 season as well, I'm waiting for that quarterback to come back. And although there were no signs of that return, you know, for number 11, or even for Doug Peterson as a play caller, just this team in general, I was waiting to see that fight, that team that, when it seems like all hope is lost over the last two seasons, 2018 and 2019 specifically, and, you know, at the end of 2017 as well, they dealt with a lot in that Super Bowl season. I was waiting for that team to suddenly snap out of it, but it never happened. And yesterday, finally, when Carson Wentz got pulled, that's when it truly just felt over. Like, okay, it finally just sank in. It's not going to get better now. It's not going to get better until the offseason, until there is significant change. And, you know, that sucks. I mean, again, it's the darkest point, I think, of the Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz era. And I found myself yesterday just going through Super Bowl videos on my phone and, you know, even thinking back to last year when this team was at Lambeau Field, and to see what Carson Wentz did that game, out-dueling Aaron Rodgers on Thursday Night Football. 1-2, they needed to win that game against a great team, and Carson Wentz throws 3 touchdowns, and I can't believe how far he has fallen, and this team in general. Wentz's fall has really just represented the fall of this team in general since the Super Bowl win, and it's unfortunate. I couldn't help but my thought, a lot of it was sadness, because I'm so bummed, because, again, like you said, the new norm, we thought this was going to be a team that had it all figured out and was one step ahead of the game every single year, consistently making the playoffs and competing for championships. Like, that's what we thought was coming after the Super Bowl win. And so, you know, I felt sadness, but at the same time, it was anger. Like, when I saw Jalen Hurts go out there, and he certainly did provide a spark for this team, and he was the better option. And I do think Carson Wentz, in the state he is now, does not deserve to play. And it looks like, from the sound of what Doug said today about Wentz taking a step back and seeing things from, you know, a different perspective, that kind of sounds like Hurts is going to play against New Orleans. It is true that that needs to probably happen right now, but I can't help but feel angry that that's what needs to happen, because that was all manufactured by this organization. I had to sit there and watch Carson Wentz be, by the way, a great teammate and just a true trooper about it. I wouldn't have handled it with that much grace, sitting on the sidelines and clapping up Jalen Hurts as he threw his first touchdown to Greg Ward. And I was pissed off watching that, man, because, yeah, Wentz needs to be on the sidelines now, but I'm pissed off because of the reason he needs to be. And it's because this organization failed him. They failed the most talented quarterback they've ever had. They have failed to build around him. They've tried. They've invested everything they can. Like, I can't knock Howie Roseman for not trying. He has invested picks, a ton of money into Wentz, the offensive line, the receiver position, but nothing has worked. And Jalen Hurts out there, I was pissed off seeing him play well, because that pick, and I knew it at the time of the pick, that it was going to cause, there was more negatives to that pick than there were positives. And I can't help but feel mad that this was all this controversy, this drama, this break of Wentz. This is all on this team. This was all self-inflicted. This was all manufactured within the organization. And that is bothersome, because where we were at the end of 2019 compared to now, it's all on us, and we have to live with that now. And it's unfortunate, but it's at the same time, like, it's, I mean, you can't be mad at anybody but the Philadelphia Eagles. They created this.
The one thing that I consistently talk about on this show is the idea of being proactive versus reactive. I think there has been a lot in the last 2 years that we have talked about that has been a lot more reactive than it has been proactive. A lot of these veteran signings, bringing back players like Jason Peters, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But the one thing that they weren't was proactive to help Carson Wentz a little bit. But, I mean, you talk about it, how the organization failed Carson Wentz. I mean, you look at putting Jalen Hurts in that game yesterday. Picking a quarterback every year is something that franchises should do. And maybe this team had a lot less faith in Carson Wentz than we set out to think. I don't want that to be the case. I don't think it should have ever been the case. But hey, man, maybe after that injury, they're like, something is wrong with him, and they knew. And maybe this was the proactive pick rather than a reactive pick. And you're constantly evaluating what happens in the NFL, and you look a lot at where they are in terms of the cap, in terms of draft picks, and in terms of their overall structure of the team. And you have to think, Lou, with the way that they've been going with this youth movement and trying to get younger players in there, like Kevon Wallace was playing a lot more yesterday. You're seeing a lot of these young kids. Jordan Mailata has continued to impress. Maybe at the quarterback position too. Maybe that they're ready to turn the page there, and something that you and I clearly haven't been ready for. And this
that
is just, the first time.
That
I'm
sounds
really
nuts to me, man. That
it,
sounds
it,
nuts,
dude. I know. I know, but
this
what
team
else
invested,
can you say?
Like, I agree. I know, like, that might be. I'm not saying that. Like, that's not what you think. Clearly, I mean, you and me were all in on Wentz at the end of 2019.
Right.
So you might be right that that's their mindset. If that's their mindset, I want a new general manager. I want a new head coach. Whoever agrees
with
that.
And that's what we have to. That's what we have to look at. We have to look at the underlying reason. A lot of people say, what is the why? I look at what is the what for the why. So why is this team so bad? Well, what have they done? Well, they've put a lot of money in positions that, frankly, like Alshon Jeffrey's contract, for example, super questionable. Some of these picks, like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I mean, very questionable. You have to look at what went wrong in this organization. You're right, Lou. I think it's time not to fire position coaches and bench just a quarterback. It's time to completely overhaul your philosophy of this franchise, because if you don't and you continue to be stuck in this reactive rut where, yeah, getting to the playoffs the last 2 years has really covered up a lot of blemishes, now you have to be proactive, because in terms of the future, you're in a pretty crappy spot. But this division, we know moving forward, you have a chance to compete if you want to get things moving in the right direction now. But if you continue to bring back guys like JP and allow these veterans to get playing time over a lot of these younger players, that guys that aren't even going to be here next year, playing over draft picks that are going to be here for 4 years, you're not going to continue to evolve as a franchise, and you're going to continue to be a 3-7-1 team where you're tying a Cincinnati Bengals team who's arguably one of the worst in the NFL, and you're losing to the Miami Dolphins last year, and you're blowing a lot of these leads, and it looks like players are quitting on you. You have to do something, and I think Howie Roseman's job seriously should be questioned. I think Doug Peterson's job should be questioned. I think everybody in this franchise should be held accountable. I don't think there's anybody from the medical staff up to everybody but Jeffrey Lurie, even himself, that should be held accountable. And people are going to lose their jobs very quickly, Lou. And if we look back to what happened in the Chip Kelly year, Jeffrey Lurie is somebody that likes to do things before the season is all said and done. And hey, we're here in December, 4 games left. If next week is just as bad, I mean, who would be to say that both Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman lose their jobs like Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn did in Detroit?
We're certainly at a crossroads with this Philadelphia Eagles team after a 30-16 loss to the Green Bay Packers. The Birds are now 3-8-1 in the season. There's a quarterback controversy. I think a self-manufactured one, but nonetheless, it is here and it's arrived. And that's why the minute that pick happened, I'm like, best case scenario, Jalen Hurts never plays and you have a good backup. Worst case scenario is exactly what happened. You killed your franchise quarterback's confidence after you built it all the way up. He built it all the way way up. Nick Foles is finally out of the picture in 2019. He wins four straight games down the stretch and just to the postseason, to an NFC East title, and you pull all that progress away. You know, instead of moving that second round pick to get DeAndre Hopkins in a trade, moving up with that pick to get CeeDee Lamb, and in an alternate universe right now, Wentz is thriving and Nate Sudfeld's your backup, or instead of taking Jeremy Chin or any other position, it could have been Josh Uche, whatever, Willie Gay Jr., it doesn't matter who it was. Instead of that, you created this mess. And so now you have to deal with it. And what is the best, you know, what's the best option now? I guess it's Hurts in 2020 moving forward. But again, I watched that game with just so much anger because this could all, to me, have been avoided. And it's not just on Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts didn't just cause everything about Carson Wentz's game right now. Like, I mean, the mechanics has been an inconsistent issue with Wentz the entirety of his career, and a lot of it's on him as well when it comes to when to be aggressive and the turnovers and taking sacks, and a lot of it's on Wentz too, like, not to take away all the responsibility from him, but I can't help but just clearly see what the underlying factor was, what caused all this. I mean, it's very obvious, and I said it from the start, and that's why when people kept calling Howie Roseman a genius, and, you know, maybe you're right, Gino, maybe he was trying to be proactive, I think it was a decision that destroyed all your progress. And so we'll continue to get into it. We got to hit a break right here on Locked on Eagles. But I mean, that is the topic of conversation now in Philadelphia, is the quarterback position. And I did not think, I mean, with Carson Wentz, again, going back less than 36 months ago, that I didn't think that was the position we'd have to talk about a lot, because you would just know each week what you have in Wentz. And instead, it's the topic of conversation. In today's episode of Locked on Eagles, guys, is sponsored by DoorDash. DoorDash is the go-to for me when it comes to getting food. I mean, I'm in New York right now, and the Orange and the red zones, you can't really go in and eat anywhere outside of takeout, and I don't really want to go out and drive, so I use DoorDash. You want Chinese food, your buddy wants pizza, somebody's craving froyo, there's something for everybody on DoorDash. Continue supporting restaurants in your community safely. There are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on the DoorDash app that need your patronage now more than ever. You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. All you got to do is open the app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Monday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase alongside Gino Camilleri. We're kind of recapping the Eagles 30-16 loss to the Green Bay Packers, but we're more so talking about what happened in that game at the quarterback position. Carson Wentz pulled for the first time in his career based on performance in favor of Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts certainly did provide a spark for that team down the stretch. I also think it was more Jalen Reagor with that punt return touchdown and that 34-yard reception. But Hurts nonetheless did provide a spark this team needs, and I think he's the better quarterback moving forward in 2020. But again, Gino, like, that's the problem, is that to me, the reason he is the best quarterback in the building is because you drafted him and because of what that did to Wentz's confidence. And I couldn't help but see Aaron Rodgers after the game talking to Wentz on the sidelines and talking to Jalen Hurts. And Aaron Rodgers have been on both sides of the situation, where he was the Jalen Hurts when they drafted him, when the Packers did, when they had Brett Favre, a Hall of Fame quarterback that was still playing at a very high level. And then this year, he was kind of the Carson Wentz, where the Packers took a quarterback in Jordan Love in the first round. And the one issue I have with people, though, today on Twitter, they're talking about how, well, Rodgers, he took that draft pick of Jordan Love and he used it as fuel and totally thrived and is having one of the best seasons of his career. And Carson Wentz, meanwhile, like, it's kind of as a knock on Carson Wentz. But what I take issue with that is the fact that Carson Wentz is in such a unique circumstance. Like, yeah, a second round quarterback, it shouldn't destroy your career. I totally agree with that. Donovan McNabb, I mean, when the Eagles drafted Kevin Cobb in the second round, he went to the NFC Championship game in 2008 against Arizona. So it's not just, I'm not like trying to say that this is what happens every time and this is what should happen with your franchise quarterback, your $100 million man. I mean, he should not collapse for a second round draft pick that was a quarterback. But this is such a unique circumstance where Wentz is already in, to me, the most unforgiving quarterback market in the NFL. Like, the minute he was drafted, he came into, I mean, we know how this fan base and how the media and how everybody interacted with Donovan McNabb, who brought you to five NFC title games in the playoffs every single year. And so that was already the case when he was drafted. Then his backup quarterback took them, his team, on a Super Bowl run. And then in 2018, took him on another run, nearly to the NFC title game. There was hit pieces. There was anonymous sources talking bad about Wentz. The media was always so unfairly critical. The injuries. There was so much adversity already that Wentz had to go through in the first 4 years of his career, more than I've ever seen a player of his talent have to deal with. And so then, that's what I'm saying. It's not just like, if none of that happened and just Hurts was taken in the second round, that shouldn't destroy Wentz. But I think it was the final, it was the final straw, man. And that's what it represents to me. It
really is such a terrible scenario for Wentz. So,
it's
know,
sad,
defended,
man. It's a sad
story. We've defended him to the death on this side. And now I believe it's time that we ourselves have to play devil's advocate to this. And what is the best option moving forward? And yes, we have failed him in providing weapons for him, and like you said, but now, man, the NFL is a what have you done for me lately league, and it's going to be a hell of a scenario to try and get out of that contract if you can even do that by trading him or whatever. But
is that what you're trying to do?
Dude, I mean,
do you think it's unfixable?
With Doug and Howie, I do. I mean, the conversations that are going on behind closed doors are exactly what you and I are saying. Like, is he the guy? Did they take Jalen Hurts because they didn't believe he was the guy? Did they keep Doug Peterson around and try and fix things because they believe that Doug is the answer and Howie really is the answer and it's more on Carson? And both sides have a tough argument to make that they were in the right. I mean, Carson has a little more uphill battle with everything that went on in his corner, but I fully believe that right now this team is going to have to get younger, Lou. We know that the salary cap is going to be a hell of a mountain to climb for whoever is at the helm. You're going to have to continue to get younger. I mean, can you recoup some draft picks for Wentz and try and get out from a little bit of his salary? Possibly. But right now, I just think we've seen this type of scenario with quarterbacks. And we talk about how the NFC East kind of you learn from the past in this division, and a lot of things happen between teams that are similar. And you look at RG3, Lou, and something that's very, very similar. Kirk Cousins comes in, shows a little bit of a spark. Jalen Hurts comes in, shows a little bit of a spark. Robert Griffin has multiple injury concerns, was absolutely dominant in his first couple seasons, and then goes downhill. Sounds a lot like Carson Wentz.
Yeah, but that's one year versus four seasons of being a top-tier quarterback.
I totally agree. But I'm just saying in terms of where you stand currently, like when everything went wrong for RG3 and the injuries and everything started to pile up for him and the backup started to look better and so on and so forth. Yeah. And the discussions that they wanted to take Tannehill over him or whatever it was. And I mean, you kind of have had these same discussions. Do you want Foles over Wentz? Do you want Hurts over Wentz? I mean, even Josh McCown almost won you a playoff game last year. So right now it's kind of where can you go? And we talk about what is the boiling point? We've hit the boiling point, but what is going to change? And we talk so highly about how we believe that Doug has gotten this team back and in scenarios multiple times with and without Wentz. And Howie Roseman has been able to overcome some crappy situations at the general manager position out of the Chip Kelly era, and what he's done in this salary cap kind of bottled himself into a corner. He's probably going to have to get himself out of it, and the one way to do it is trying to move on from Wentz, but you can't cut him. It's impossible, and it's just a crazy situation to be in. But you're right, Lou, and our philosophy on the show, see what you have in these young kids. You know where Carson is now. I don't think putting him out there the rest of the season is going to help him. I think it'll only hurt him. So why not see what you have in Hurts, and maybe, just maybe, he's the guy, or maybe he isn't, and you're like, hey, we have a top seven pick this year. Maybe we work our way up and have a chance to, you and I have had these discussions, maybe have a chance to draft a guy like Trey Lance or Wilson out of BYU. Maybe it is the end of this tenure, not for Doug and Howie, but maybe it is for Carson. And it's starting to look more and more that way when you just look at the facts.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I think it's reasonable. I mean, that's what could be what happens down the road. I think Jeffrey Lurie is not going to fire Howie Roseman, even though I think he's the first guy that should go. It's just, yeah, I guess it comes down to, again, the conversation we've been having on the show is, who goes and who stays? Like, who of those three staples do you prioritize between Roseman, between Doug, and between Carson? I just, with me, maybe I take more seriously what he did in 2018 and 2019, not just 2017, but like what I saw in 2019.
I think you and I both do. I just think from the people that are making the decisions, they might not.
I think long-term, their best bet still is to try to fix Wentz. And so, yeah, like you could try to find a trade partner. Indianapolis would terrify me to see him go thrive with Frank Reich again. I mean, that's a nightmare scenario. But if I'm going to make a big move this year, it's not going to be with Wentz. I think it's going to be with Doug and or Howie, and I'm trying to fix number 11 because they may have Wentz just had 2017 and he didn't show anything in 2018 and 2019. It would be an easy decision. But it's hard for me, really difficult for me, to move on from a quarterback that less than a year ago did what Wentz did in 2019. And so for me, actually, I look at Jalen Hurts, and this would never happen, but if I'm the Eagles, I'm moving on from Jalen Hurts, and I'm going all in on Carson Wentz and trying to fix him in 2021. And if it doesn't work, then I'm just drafting somebody else. But I think the setup of the team right now, I think the one thing we can agree on, regardless of who goes, Doug, Howie, Wentz, it's not going to be Hurts, but Jalen Hurts. Whoever goes, one thing that is agreed upon is that people need to go. I mean, there needs to be real change. Mm-hmm. Like you said in segment one, it's not just getting rid of another Carson Walsh type of coach or Mike Groh. I mean, there's got to be real change at the top of this organization.
It has to be an organizational overhaul. I mean, the firing of Chip Kelly. I remember exactly where I was when that happened. And I remember watching that team come out the next week and they had a little bit of a spark and big changes. Push things, man. They really push the boundaries, and you're seeing that. And look at a team like Detroit yesterday. They fire their head coach and GM and have an unbelievable comeback against a division opponent and play with a little more juice. And look at the Philadelphia Eagles, man. That second half, like, Jalen Hurts showed some excitement. He definitely did. And what we've seen out of Carson this year has been so disappointing. And the last 3 years, you can't ignore them, but like we say, you have to be proactive and at least see what you have in the bag.
Oh, definitely. There's no denying what Wentz is right now, man. Like, I'm definitely not doing that. I'm still trying to fix that because I saw what I saw 4 years, and it's hard for me to give up on that over 11 games. But at the same time, yeah, like, you have to have other options now. This year, I'd be okay with drafting a Jalen Hurts in the second round. But again, it's the timing of when you took Hurts, and it's hard for me to see that correlation and not – and try to deny Hurts' impact on Wentz. And that's why, like, yesterday, Hurts was playing well. Like you said, he absolutely provided a spark for this team. But it's hard not to get upset about that because you see it's at the expense of Carson. You see what that pick did. And it's not the thing that broke Wentz, but I think it was all of this pressure on Wentz's shoulders. I think it finally caved. It was that final thing that just broke his back. Even long term, I like Hurts as a quarterback, but if it's not Carson Wentz that saves this team in 2021 and beyond, I don't think it's Jalen Hurts. That's just where I'm at. I'm prioritizing the 2020 draft class or 2021 if it's not 11. That's why my mindset still in the offseason is, okay, can I go get Jamar Chase for Wentz? Should I trade for Odell Beckham? Is it Devontae Smith? Is it Jalen Waddle? That's still my perspective, but like you said, that might not be what's happening inside the organization, because I think Howie Roseman is safe, even though he shouldn't be. And so it's going to be a crazy offseason, man. Jeffrey Lurie, no matter what, is going to make some big decisions.
Definitely. And like you said, to that point, going out and getting Jamar Chase or trading for somebody. And can we acknowledge that Devonta Smith clearly is the best Alabama wide receiver in the last two classes?
Oh, like, yeah, he's a star.
Unbelievable.
Oh,
and I was the first person to say that on the show, man. He is.
And that's a high bar,
good.
Man. I mean, that's Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs. Yep. I mean, there's a lot
and
of
I'd
Bama
be comfortable
receivers
taking him too. But like you said, drafting those guys for Wentz and going to maybe trade for, like you said, a high-end wide receiver, that's going to help your team regardless. And that should be the mindset that you're looking for moving forward. And hey, if you're up high enough and you have a chance to maybe get up there and get, could you imagine if they could draft Justin Fields? Like, you have a chance, you would have to do that. Yeah, I mean, you have to. That's a generational type talent, and that's why you draft Jamar Chase and Devonta Smith, because those are generational type players. And right now, Lou, I think the worst thing for this team, like maybe even in 18 and 19, was to win those games down the stretch and move back a little bit in draft position. Right now, you should 100% be prioritizing that draft, regardless of who your quarterback is, because this team has a ton of holes just outside of the quarterback.
Oh, yeah, there's more holes in quarterback, man. There's a ton of holes.
We could talk about every single player. Jake Elliott should be cut. like absolute liability. I think that special teams unit, how was Jalen Reagor not returning punts until he's only had three on the year and Greg Ward was continuing to be back there? And how a player like Jason Peters even continues to get snaps over a player like Nate Herbig
or Alshon Jeffery is still on the football field.
Alshon Jeffery over John Hightower. It doesn't make sense. There are so many problems with this football team outside of just the quarterback position. And we'll continue to talk about that as we get into the draft and everything. But right now, this is the fork in the road. This is it. You have to make a choice. There is no hanging around. The decision was made to bench Wentz. He has been on Doug Peterson. He has been on Howie Roseman. Jeffrey Lurie doesn't go to the Browns game because he's so disappointed. I think something's going to happen in NovaCare very, very soon. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see an Adam Schefter tweet within the next couple days.
Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast, and it's sponsored by the best tasting protein bar out there. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones. You got caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. It's the perfect alternative to your everyday snack, that bag of chips, that bag of Skittles. Go with a Built Bar instead. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories in every bar. Awesome, unique, 18 different flavors. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Monday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri joining you. It's episode 1 this week of 5. Download it into your phone when you subscribe to LOE on any podcast platform. Gino, we've been talking mostly about the quarterback position after the Eagles' loss on Sunday to the Green Bay Packers because for the first time in his career, based on performance, Carson Wentz was benched for a backup quarterback in Jalen Hurts. And that is like the big topic that we're going to have to discuss all offseason, as well as, is Doug Peterson still the head coach? Is Howie Roseman still the general manager? Owner Jeffrey Lurie has a lot of decisions to make. But as we said at the end of segment 2, man, like, you watch that game against the Packers, there are clear holes outside of just quarterback. I mean, as you said, Jason Peters is shot at right guard, at left tackle. It does not matter. They have holes up front. At wide receiver, Alshon Jeffery continues to get snaps when I could probably run a faster 40 time than Alshon right now. Even like Travis Fulgham. Travis Fulgham led the league in receiving yards for like over a month long span. But even Travis Fulgham, I think he should be playing over Alshon, but we thought he was maybe going to be wide receiver 1 or wide receiver 2 of the future, and that doesn't look like it's the case. I mean, I don't think he's as good as we maybe thought. And then on defense, you know, the linebackers are bad. The secondary has a ton of holes outside of Darius Slay. Avante Maddox is one of the worst starting corners in football. Jalen Mills is not a long-term safety at the position. Rodney McLeod doesn't have that much longer on this team, as good as he still is. You know, there's just, you know, offense, defense, coaching staff, front office. It's time for a complete overhaul. Like, this team is not close to being back where, and I thought they were in the offseason. Like, I'm not going to lie, I thought this team was constructed pretty well. I thought they were going to be the 3 seed in the NFC. But based on what we've seen this year, it is clear there's a long way to go to get back to what was supposed to be a new norm.
For sure. That, and I think that's kind of the identifier. Like, now we need to identify what is our new norm. And like you and I said, we're not comfortable being a 9-7 team. And frankly, we want that number 1 seed every single year, especially now that it is ever more important with that only being the 1 bye week. And with the current state of your roster, with the age, with the amount of players that just aren't playing up to potential. Zach Ertz, for example. I mean, Jason Peters, you brought back and played him left tackle money to be as useless as he has been the past 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jake Elliott gets an extension and has just been outright terrible for this team. The list goes on and on. I mean, from coaches to general managers, just these decisions have been so outright just misguided.
Nothing's worked. I mean, nothing's worked.
It's not worked. No, you're right. And you can't keep doing the same thing over and over. And we've talked about the insanity element. And I finally think that insanity finally snapped yesterday when they said, hey, okay, it's time to see things in a different light. It's time to bench our quarterback and see maybe is that the spark we need. And right now, that spark, this flame is a forest fire now. I mean, you have to put it out and ASAP because you've seen organizations just struggle to come back from situations like this. And you look at a team that's in just as bad as a situation in terms of salary cap that's on the complete opposite end of the spectrum in the New Orleans Saints, We are so far removed from that right now. We are more in Cincinnati Bengals territory. We're more in New York Jets territory, as bad as that sounds, because you have a long way to the top. Like, you have a long way to compete.
That's the sad part, man.
The Chiefs and the great teams in this league. And it is unfortunate because we thought we were right there. We really did. And
we thought we were with the Packers and the Saints and the Cardinals. And yeah, all the teams we're playing right now, it sucks watching them play these teams and how uncompetitive they are. And because we thought for, you know, after the last 3 years that they were, like you said, in that top tier with these teams, and they are not even close.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, Lou. You and I don't want to see this. I hate this. These games that aren't even fun to watch. Like, I mean, there were a couple of sparks. Jalen Reagor was exciting in that punt return. The couple of long throws from Jalen Hurts were exciting. Seeing him scramble around, it was giving me a little bit of Mike Vick throwback, Lou. You couldn't help but see him, and you're like, okay, somebody that's a little bit more mobile and with that offensive line had to do a little bit more, and he did with what he had. And there were sparks, but there are also so many down and just outright bad situations for this team the last 3 years, ultimately, since the Super Bowl. And this is not the new norm that any of us wanted, and we need to find an identity. We need to find the team that we are, and we're so lost. Like, who are we, Lou? Offensively and defensively, like, what are we? I mean, are you a team that stops the run? No, because your running defense has been outright terrible, but your front finally is getting there, and you can cover on the back end, but then all of a sudden you can't defend the run, and your offense all of a sudden is just slow. And I think they made a great point in Tony Romo and Jim Nance on the broadcast yesterday. They just looked slow. They just look like a team that has been hobbled and just has concrete in their shoes. And how long have we been saying that for? Mm-hmm. You can't win in the NFL like that. You're not even going to win many major conferences in college football under that proposition. And it's a faster, it's a younger, it's a more mobile, it's a more on the move, it's a more intuitive type design offense and defense. And it's just vanilla. And this vanilla ice cream has melted, and this vanilla ice cream has just been boiling in the sun and has just left a terrible stench for all of us Eagles fans, and I'm sick of it. We need to see change. Like, it is time. There's no more things left to say, no more arguing. Something has to change, and now.
Ladies and gentlemen, go out, take a hike, walk your dog, do something else than think about the Philadelphia Eagles, because it's a dark time right now. But we'll continue to get into it on Locked On Eagles. 5 episodes a week, download into your phone, subscribe on any podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, you name it. We are available. Me and Gino will be back tomorrow, and then we got Wentz Wednesday as well, crossover Thursday. We still have a jam-packed week of Eagles content. But for now, take a breather, go enjoy life, because the Eagles are not really bringing you a lot of happiness right now. At least they're not for us. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri joining you on this Monday edition of Locked On Eagles. Again, be sure to subscribe to the podcast if you could. Hopefully leave us a rate of hopefully 5 stars, a review. That's how we grow the show and continue to churn out more episodes a week than any Eagles podcast out there. And we're always talking birds on Twitter after the show as well, at Locked On Birds and at DiBiase, L-O-E. That's DiBiase, L-O-E. For myself, Lou DiBiase, and Gino Camilleri signing off. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.